We're going to spend some time reading from God's Word. We're reading from the book of Proverbs. We're going to be reading chapter 9, verses 1 to 18. So Proverbs 9, verses 1 to 18. So Proverbs chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead.
All right, well, hey, church, you know, one of the oldest and most common tropes in all of Hollywood is the idea of the love triangle. The love triangles in all the films and TV and all over the place. You know, if you're into the classics, you might think of Gone with the Wind. Who's actually seen Gone with the Wind? Yeah, okay, a few people, the real film lovers out there. Maybe into rom-coms and you think of Bridget Jones's Diary and having to choose between Hugh Grant and Colin Firth. You know, I'm not sure which side of the coin you fall on with that. Maybe though you're more into the more recent kind of moody teen romances. You know, the Hunger Games, Katniss has to choose between Gale and Peter, or not to mention that other monstrosity, Twilight, and having to choose between werewolves and vampires or something. I don't know what's going on with that. You might be sitting there going, gee, I'm glad my movies don't get down to those love triangles. I'm all about action movies. Well, sorry to say that even action movies are tainted by the old love triangle. Think of Wolverine and Cyclops and Jean Grey and X-Men. Or, even Star Wars had its own weird love triangle going on, okay? Yeah, I know you kind of, you know, if you know the Star Wars story, you know how it ends. Well, love triangles, they're kind of everywhere, aren't they? The TV and film, they love it because there's all the drama of who they're going to choose. Are they going to choose X or Y? How's it going to play out, all the tension, the romantic desires, and it makes for good TV. Well, guess what? There's an ancient love triangle in the book of Proverbs. An ancient love triangle in the book of Proverbs. Now, let me explain. Last week we began looking at Proverbs, and it's the book that's all about gaining wisdom and insight, understanding that we might walk along the right path of life. Now, if you missed that talk, go check it out on our website. It's all about the fear of the Lord. That's where wisdom begins. That's where it all starts. Now, Proverbs written from the perspective of a father passing on wisdom to his son. And the way in those first 9 chapters of Proverbs, like Garner was saying, you know, Proverbs, we often think of the one-liners, the real pithy sayings. But actually, the first 9 chapters, it plays out like a drama. And there's all these different characters involved from there. And as the father gives advice to his son, he talks about these different characters. Now, some of these friends will lead him astray. And father warns him to stay away from those characters, and others will lead him to life. Now, what we're going to see, we're going to focus on two key characters in those first nine chapters, Lady Wisdom and Madam Folly. Right? And it plays out like this love triangle. The young man must choose between wisdom and folly, and the father presents this as like a choice between two women. You know, a bit like an eligible bachelor trying to choose between two eligible romantic partners. Now, both of these women are vying for the attention of the young man, the attention of the young and of the simple. Now, again, the simple, that's another character in Proverbs. Now, it's not so much a derogatory term. It's talking about the immature, the young, the immature. I've said it's like the gullible, right? The one who's there, they're immature, young. They don't quite know how to discern things, and they're still making their minds up about what's right and what's wrong and how to live their life. And so this book of Proverbs is all about trying to move beyond the childishness of our youth and onto wisdom and maturity of taking on responsibility of no longer acting like a child but as an adult. So let's have a look at this lady. The first one is Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom was there in verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point in the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. So Lady Wisdom, she's skillful, industrious, diligent at home. She's mixing her own wine. She's preparing her meat. In the ancient world, the size and the grandeur of a house was determined by how many pillars there were. And so the picture here of Lady Wisdom's house sits on the high point of the city, the grand mansion just overlooking the city, the spectacular sight. And there she is inviting people to come and join her banquet. She sends her servants out to invite people along. It's a great picture, isn't it? The picture of the best fine dining that you can find there, of the meat that just sort of pulls tenderly off the bone, and the wine that's been aged for years and is being put together just for that night. Or for those vegans out there, it might be the fried tofu and the kombucha. You know, I know you've got to stay on the good side of vegans these days. Well, she's inviting the simple to come dine with her. Come and dine with me. Come and dine with me. Learn wisdom. Walk in the way of insight and you will live. You will live. Want to grow in wisdom? Come and dine with Lady Wisdom herself. Now, remember, this is all a metaphor, isn't it? This is trying to make a point. You know, you don't just go to a classroom. It's not about just learning some facts. Actually, wisdom is described as being a relationship. A relationship. Wisdom is learned as you grow and as you learn from Lady Wisdom. Now, the passage goes on and talks a little bit more of how that actually happens. Verse 7. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they'll hate you. Rebuke the wise and they'll love you. Instruct the wise and they'll be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they'll add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. It's a fascinating picture. Fascinating picture, because it's describing wisdom as like this community project. Did you notice that? There's correction, rebuke, instruction. They're all part of growing in wisdom. The wise one fears God, and then he accepts the wisdom and advice of others. Mockers, scoffers, they'll throw abuse and insult at you when you try to correct them or rebuke them or teach them the way. You know, we've all got to be careful, don't we? When someone gives advice to us, I mean, what's sometimes our first excuse for us is excuses on one hand, self-justification. When maybe it's your youth leader or your growth group leader might want to come and teach you and show you the path of wisdom. How do you respond to that? You know, I remember a time when a friend of mine pointed out to me that, I think we were on a beach mission together, and he was pointing out the fact that I always seem to avoid the kind of dirty jobs that no one really notices, and only do the jobs that people are going to notice and that are the kind of cool jobs. And I remember my first instant reaction just being, that's not true. I'm just getting a little angry. You know how hard I work? How dare you? How do you speak to me like that? See, friends, that's the response of the mocker. That's not the response of the wise one. In fact, actually, as I slowly came to the realization that actually he was right. He was totally and utterly right. And as it is now with this friend, we've got this great relationship where we actually both share very openly about our lives and about how each other are going and are able to speak honestly to each other about stuff like that. Do you have that person in your life? Do you respond to correction and rebuke by listening and growing wiser? Or do you just rely on your own self-confidence and ignoring the advice of others? See, the picture here of wisdom is the wisdom of older saints discipling younger saints, the culture of church of humility and openness that we might actually grow each other and be willing to speak into each other's lives. It's a hard thing to do. Incredibly hard, confronting. And I actually think we don't do it that well either. We don't do it that well. But if we are to grow in wisdom together as a church, as a community, we've got to be open to listening to rebuke and correction and learning of Scripture together. But let's jump down now to meet Madam Folly. Let's meet Madam Folly, verse 13. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on the seat at the highest point in the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Madam Folly, what is she like? Unruly, rowdy, disruptive, uncontrollable. She's not like Lady Wisdom. She hasn't prospered like Lady Wisdom. She's not the woman of skill and of diligence, industry. She's simple. In fact, she's kind of immature herself. She's complacent. She's lazy. She doesn't have the servant. She sits on her own doorstep and calls, lazily calling people in, calling out to those who pass by, trying to snag the simple as they go upon their way. Her meal isn't the delicately prepared cuisine of wine and mixed wine of fine food. Her meal is stolen water, food eaten in secret. That little line there, it's a seductive picture. The picture of the prostitute or the seductress. That's the way she works. She has to distract the simple from her past, which she knows that she doesn't actually have any real substance to offer. And behind, she knows that forbidden fruit tastes the sweetest, as the old saying goes. And she uses her moral nature to try and draw and lure people in. You know, in an earlier chapter, one of Madame Folly's friends, or might be even Madame Folly herself, she describes a way that she lures people in and lures the young men. So if you flick back a page in your Bible to chapter 7, flick back to chapter 7, verse 6. I just want you to just imagine this, listen, and imagine the picture of what's going on. Okay? It's a bit of a longish passage, but I'll read it out. At the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed the young men, a youth who had no sense. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the streets she lurks. In every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him. And with a brazen face she said, today I have fulfilled my vows. I have food from my fellowship offering at home. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of the love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband's not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping onto a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading to the chambers of death. What an amazing little picture of the way that folly is just attractive to us. It allures us in. You know, Proverbs presents this picture as black and white, night and day. Why would you ever choose Lady Folly? Friends, in truth, in our daily lives, we all know the allure of folly in lots of different ways, don't we? You know, in the first 9 chapters, it's about the father giving advice to the son, and he talks about stuff like, honor God with your wealth, son. And how too often do I in my own life think about the times where actually my wealth spent on me, centered on me, not centered on God. And when the father says and he encourages his son to speak with discretion and prudence, and yet I regularly find myself speaking harshly to my family. And in chapter 6, he talks about don't be lazy, work hard. And yet how often do I feed this monster known as procrastination in my life? You see, we visit the house of folly far too often, more than we care to admit. Indeed, my sinful heart constantly pulls me towards a way of folly. Now, we're talking about these things of wisdom and folly, but then Proverbs presents us not just as a little decisions in life, but the decision between life and the decision between death. Giving into temptation, following Madam Folly, leads to death. You see, you don't wait till your spouse has had enough of you, or you're caught for stealing, or you're addicted to your sin, that you give up fighting. See, that's the road that leads to death, where there are 1,000 decaying bodies where that stench just goes for miles. And friends, this is why we need Proverbs. This is God's way of presenting life to us, presenting it starkly to us, to help us make the right choice, to choose Lady Wisdom. Friends, it's a choice between life and death. As I say, this is, of course, just a really vivid metaphor about this love triangle, choosing between Lady Wisdom and Madam Folly. But who really is Lady Wisdom and Madam Folly? So let me tell you, there's a little detail in there. You might have caught onto it. See, where's the location of their house? For both of them, the location of the house is on the heights of the city. It's on the heights of the city. Now, in ancient times, what happened is that the highest point of the city was the place of the presence of God, of whatever God you worship. It could be any pagan god, and they would build their temples right up on the top, on the highest point of the city, overlooking the city. And the picture of Proverbs is trying to present to us is this is a choice between two gods. There is the God of Israel, the God who made the universe. And there are the pagan gods who constantly, all the way through the Old Testament of the story of Israel, lured Israel away from the true God to false idols, to the Baals and the Asherahs, which always sat up on the high places on the mountains and lured Israel in with their cult of fertility, which involved having sex with temple prostitutes and would be this thing that would constantly snare Israel. You see, that's the picture. That's the picture of choosing. That's the real Lady Wisdom and Madam Folly. It's the choice between God and the gods. The gods trying to lure you away from God. And might have been the Baals and the Asherahs of the past, but today it might be sex, money, power, popularity. You know, it's no mistake that Madam Folly preys on our base desires, laziness for food, for sex. Our base impulses, our addiction to novelty. Yeah, it's fascinating this week. I was just reading about the shift in the last 20 years that sociologists have been talking about. They're calling it extended adolescence. Extended adolescence. Have you heard the term? The kind of caricature of it is the 30-year-old man-child, they call it. The 30-year-old man-child. 30-something-year-old, can't hold a job, sits at home, lives off his parents, spends most of his day playing video games. The man-child, they call it. Now, what they're saying is that actually over the last 20 years, our teens and young adults, they're much less likely to drive, to have a job. They're getting married later and later in their 20s, having kids later in their 30s. Traditionally, they say the marks of childhood were things like leaving home, becoming financially independent, completing a degree, marrying, starting a family. That's the transition into adulthood. But what we're seeing is a whole generation now that are stuck in adolescence and not moving on to taking on the responsibilities. And partly they say, well, it's partly education. Like, we're going to need more education and it takes longer to get there. But at the same time, they say actually, but there's a lot of bad reasons too. That a lot of our young adults are at home playing video games, binging on Netflix, their favorite YouTuber. They're not pursuing relationships that lead to marriage, but casual and non-committal relationships, or even worse, they're spending time on porn or sexting. They're not out developing strong community and friendships. They're spending days and nights on social media instead. Now we've become so affluent that there's almost no need for our kids to go out and get jobs because, well, they can have all the creature comforts they want right there in the household. So affluent that we don't have to do so much work as the flick of a finger to get everything that we need. Madame Folly has grabbed hold of our whole generation, a whole generation, and turned us into lazy sex addicts. That's why Proverbs is written to a young man. You know, a proverb that we're going to look at actually next week when you look at parenting and family. Proverbs chapter 6 says, start children off in the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. You see, Proverbs targets us where we are most impressionable, in our youth. As we set up our lives, will we base our lives on wisdom or will we base it on folly? Now, it's advice for all of us. It is advice for all of us, for all of us to continue learning and growing and growing in wisdom. But I think more than ever, we need to dine with Lady Wisdom, learn of her skill, her knowledge, her industry, her faithfulness. But I say on a deeper level, it's not so much about skill as it is about foundations. It's about your worship. Are you worshiping the God that she represents? You know, Jesus came along and he told a story about two men. He told a story about two men building a house. One built their house wisely on a rock, such that when the wind and the rain came and beat against the house, the house stood strong. But then the foolish man came along and he builds his house upon the sand. Think of luxury, comfort, seaside living. But when the wind and the rain beat against that house, it fell with a loud crash. What does Jesus say? Who is the wise one who builds his house upon the rock? The one who hears and obeys Jesus' words. See, church, after 9 chapters of Proverbs, advice, fear God, choose wisdom, dine with her, learn from her. It's about worshiping the God she represents, the God who came and walked this earth as God the Son, the one who embodied all of God's wisdom, that Jesus, he comes and he invites us to his banquet. He invites us to eat of his bread and to drink of his wine, that we might have a relationship with the God who made the universe, that we might learn the wisdom how to live wisely in the world that God created. And he presents to us a choice, the choice of two ways of living. You see, you're either building your life on the shifting sands of the world, which will lead to death and destruction, and it won't last, or we can build our lives on the rock of Jesus. And the life that will lead to everlasting life. You see, friends, every day we live out that love triangle, the choice between wisdom and the choice between foolishness. But on a deeper level, actually, we make that choice many times a day, but we actually have one big choice to make. Will we build our life, on the rock of Jesus and his wisdom, or will we continue chasing down the ways of folly? Well, friends, as we've been doing through our series so far, I'm saying a few life lessons. Let's try and bring this together. What would be some life lessons that you learn from Proverbs chapter 9? Well, I think first life lesson is the fool gives into their base desires, all right? The base desires for food and sex, and he doesn't listen to advice. Is that you? Are there aspects of your life that you need to bring to God where you visit the home of folly far too often? Well, friends, on the other hand, the wise builds their life by listening to Jesus, obeying him. It's dining with him. It's building our life on our relationship with Jesus. Friends, I don't know where you're at with Jesus. And I know that we've got people at different points exploring different, trying to work out this Jesus thing. Friends, there may be no more important decision that you have to make than the decision between Jesus, wisdom, and the way of life. We'll continue on the life that the world presents to us. Food, sex, that's what money, that's what life's about. That is the shifting sands that leads only to death and destruction. Friends, choose wisely. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring different topics to really tease out what does the wise life look like in a whole bunch of different areas of life. But it's got to begin here. Do you choose life? Do you choose life with God and the Son that he sent to die for us? I'm going to be praying that we do exactly that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know that we have many choices to make in our day, in our weeks, in our lives. Father, we pray that you'll help us to choose wisely. Lord, for those of us who don't yet follow Jesus, Lord, will you help us to explore, to come to explore even, of course. Father, we pray that this would not be just words or a talk that we hear, but actually reflection of life as it truly is in your world, the choice between wisdom and foolishness, the choice between you and the gods of our world. Father, we pray that we will choose wisely and as a consequence build our life on that and day by day, choice by choice, choose you. Father, we know we need your help. We thank you that you have forgiven us for the times that we choose foolishly, and you give us the strength and the power to choose wisely now. And we pray that we might indeed have the strength to live that out this week, this day, and indeed in our lives going forwards. Amen.